Good morning. I am not Kim, but the time has arrived, and let's begin our announcements and then move to the worship experience. If you look at your bulletin, Bible school is, I believe, 2 weeks from tomorrow. So pray for this experience, this event. Pray for those who might come. Pray for those who will be leading. Just pray for Vacation Bible School this year at Jenkins Church. Also, I call your attention to Wednesday evening. I believe it's Brittany Leadham, who was in an accident last September. She will be here to speak, and we can hear her testimony. And actually, she lives next door. Right. She's your next door neighbor, is that right? Jimmy and Frida's next door neighbor, yeah. And Ms. Gammon is her mother, and she attends church at Cane Ridge, and grandmother, and she attends church at Cane Ridge and has been with us numerous times. This will be the last scheduled Wednesday evening service before the summer, and we'll talk about next Wednesday, next Sunday, but this will be the last Wednesday evening service with supper before summer, or for this spring, or whatever you say. At least till after Bible school. Somebody will be here. Yes, ma'am. She'll be here Wednesday. We just did that. Okay. And do we have announcements from the congregation that needs to be made? Yes. There's a youth meeting tonight at 5 and a children's meeting at night at 5 and those are in your bulletin, but we call your attention to them. Other announcements from the congregation that need to be made? Please register. Do we have prayer concerns that need to be spoken vocally? Yes, ma'am. Okay, would you put that on a card too? Because, okay, like we can't read my writing Tuesday morning. You're right. Okay. Jane Lauer. Other? Don't want visitors because she was so young. prayer request or praise report. Teenagers, we need candle lighters. Let's pause a moment for our preparation time. Just Melanie and I and Diana are the musicians, and myself, we meet and kind of ask God to calm us down and use us, and the congregation may need to do that too. We are the people of God. God has blessed us abundantly above all that we can ask or think. God of signs and wonders, come visit upon your people. Will you stand? Will you turn to hymn number 92? We welcome Sam and Mr. LD back. And Sam, good to see you.
Buenos dias. Bienvenidos a Iglesia Jenkins. Now you know how I felt for the last 10 days.
Love divine, love's exhaling joy of heaven.
God in prayer. Lord God, thank you for loving us. And Lord, we know that so many times. So often we are so unlovable. And Lord, your people have been that way through the ages. But you just keep on loving us. And then you love us some more. And as we come into your place this day, we come to celebrate that love. You have called us to be your people, and we just thank you that you want us. And Lord, now we pray for the leadership of your Spirit, you to so move in us that we can bring glory and honor to you, that we can look at your word, that we can express our faith to you and to one another. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." You may be seated. We will worship today without the benefit of high tech.
If you'll turn in your hymnals now to page 716. You know, it's kind of like air conditioning, and traffic signals and stop signs. If you don't have them, you really miss them. And I'm sure that we're going to miss the projector till we think the bulb is gone. But most of us that are above 50, we didn't have air conditioning in our cars, especially not in the house. But anyway, our Apostles' Creed is on page 716. If you'll join me, please. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen."
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Look at our scripture verse, a call to confession. "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Knowing what God says about forgiveness and healing, let us confess our sin. Gracious and faithful God, hear us now. We seek to follow you. We strive to serve you. We want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. In spite of our longing, we stumble and struggle. We do things we should not do. We fail to do things we should. We harm ourselves and others and your good creation. Most of all, in our failings, we hurt you. Forgive us, God. Grant us strength and courage to be the people you would have us be. Fill us with your Spirit and abide in us. Let our lives bear witness to your steadfast love and faithfulness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us begin anew to be the people of God, the people that God calls us to be, instruments of God's love in this world, by His grace and His love. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. The hymn is number 513.
Oh, how He loved you and me. Oh, how He loved you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you.
Let's do that first verse again.
Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. How He loves you and me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Sometimes we don't want others to know what we do for the Lord for fear of being braggadocious. But sometimes we need to show that it would bring glory not to us, but to God. The ushers will come to receive our tithes and our offerings.
trying. Without a worship leader, we're just lost.
I've always known about God's grace, but I always thought I had to do a whole lot to make sure I kept God's grace. And it was just recently that I've realized that it's just sufficient. And as long as I'm in this flesh, I'm going to not be everything He wants me to be. But I'm so glad for His marvelous, marvelous grace that will look at me and see Jesus covering me with His blood and also convict me when I need to be convicted of the things that I know I do that are not pleasing in His sight. I've been enjoying this year, I don't know if you have, but I've enjoyed sort of looking at the old hymns and singing them this year, and I've got something about our grace, the grace of our Lord today. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that was greater than all our sins.
Chelsea Wilkerson will read our scripture this morning.
Today's scripture is from John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made you known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. The word of God for the people of God.
I keep thinking about, are we a little loud, or is that distracting, the sound distracting to you? And what do we need to do? I'm getting a little echo. Okay. I keep thinking about and said, well, that'd be too political, and I don't like to be political. Prefer not to be. Work hard at not being political from the pulpit as far as national politics. But I keep thinking about back in, I think it's 1991, and wasn't that the year of the election? Or was it 92? Maybe it was 1992. Whenever Bill Clinton was running for president the first time. And I remember him saying, or I believe that bald-headed guy from Louisiana came up with the phrase, it's the economy. And they added the word at the end of it. It's the economy. Or it's about the economy. Well, from a Christian standpoint, life is about love. It's about love. And if we don't have love, well, we need to examine our Christianity, our relationship with God. The Christian life is about love. The life of a Christian is about love. And somebody says, well, I thought it was about salvation. Well, that's God's love to us. And so it is about helping people come to know God through Jesus Christ, to be saved from their sins. But still about love, to experience God's love, and in return, become people of love, or become lovers. And somebody might say, well, I thought the purpose of the church and church people, Christian people, were supposed to glorify God. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. It is our chief end to glorify God. But how do we glorify God? When we do His commands. When we love Him, and love one another. So it's about love. It's about loving God. It's about loving one another. To be a Christian is to be a person of love. We are, we who carry the name of Christ, are people of love. I don't know if this is one of the good works that Jesus was talking about when he quoted or stated to the disciples, let others see your good works, that it might bring glory to our Father in heaven. But I think it can apply here. For we love one another. That's the work. And sometimes it's difficult to love people. Sometimes it's a hard work. I know that some people have trouble loving me. I know it. I don't plan it that way, but it's just the way, you know, sometimes I act in such a way that it makes it difficult for people to show love. One of the characteristics of the church, the early church we would refer to it, first century Christians, is how they loved one another. See how they loved one another. So it's not only about receiving God's love and loving God in return and oh how I love Jesus. That's important. That's first and foremost. But it continues. That's not the end of God's call to us. It's loving one another. And there's some people in the world that's just as difficult to love as I am. I know it. I've dealt with them. So that helps me to understand when people have trouble loving me. Two things that God's Word tells us. I know this is a very general statement, because God's Word tells us this, and God's Word tells us that, and God's Word tells us something else. Tells us a lot, but in general, two things that God's Word tells us. Tells us what God has done for us. What God has done for us. Through the centuries, what God has done for us. And just for some example, He, back in Genesis, He sent Jacob down to Egypt. Why would God send Jacob down to Egypt when 400 years later He was going to have to rescue them from Egypt? Well, they were starving to death where they were. There was a famine. They were starving, and so God sent them down to Egypt, and He had already sent Joseph down to Egypt. I don't know if Joseph knew what all that God had in mind when He sent him to Egypt, got him sold off by his brothers as a slave or a servant. God sent Jacob down to Egypt. And then God freed Jacob's descendants from Egypt. That's the Exodus. And we still remember it. The great event of the Old Testament. Jewish people still celebrate the Exodus, getting out of Egypt, God freeing them from Egypt as the high point of their celebrations, like our Easter, our Good Friday and Easter. Joshua, after Moses died, Moses was the person that God used to get the people out of Egypt. Moses died. And Joshua took over. And what did God do for Joshua and those with him? He led them into the promised land. He led them as far as they would go. And He asked them to do more than they did. But they kind of, they balked. Is that a good word? Understand that word? They balked on it. And then David. David became king. Years later, after Jacob, people said, we need a king. God's people said, we need a king like our neighbors have. And God said, you don't need a king. I'm your king. And they kept saying, well, we want a king. So they gave him a king. They gave him Saul first. And boy, that was a boodazzle or something. I think I created the word. If you could spell that one, you're okay. And then God replaced him with David. And David was a good king. And then Solomon came along. He was a good king. But even what, three generations, the fourth king bombed out. Actually, the kingdom divided. They had two kings, one for the north and one for the south. Sounds like the United States, doesn't it, years ago. I'm not relating the two. I'm just using that for an illustration. But go on. Isaiah 53. How many times have you heard me say Isaiah 53? But we see there what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, the promise of what He would do. And then Ezekiel, how God took a valley of dry bones and brought life to them. And then He sent Jesus from the New Testament. And Jesus died for us. And that gave us eternal life. So that's just a quick summary. A surface looking at what God has done for us through the generations. Since we have an account of His dealing with man. And then the second thing I said that the Bible teaches us, God's Word teaches us, is what God expects of us, or what God requires of us. Back in Exodus, we find God requiring of the people to worship Him. Worship Him, and Him alone. If you go to get to the Ten Commandments, God expects His people to honor Him. God expects His people to serve Him. God expects His people to obey Him. God expects His people to help one another.
And God expects His people to love one another. Love one another. The gospel lesson is what you heard today. Today's gospel lesson is about what God has done and is doing for us. And then there's another lesson reference. And that lesson is about God's love and God's expectations of those people that He loves. God loves us. He expresses that love ultimately in the person of Jesus Christ. Love Him, love others. You got that in the gospel lesson. But then the epistle lesson that we didn't print, we didn't read, but it's there. God loves us and calls us or commands us to love Him and one another. Now, I've said that. Move on to something else. Go back and read the 13th chapter of John. Jesus said to the disciples, love one another. I command you this. In the 15th chapter of John, Jesus repeats Himself. So, some things we need to dwell on. And the preacher came to the church and preached one Sunday, and the next Sunday he preached the same sermon, and the next Sunday the same sermon. The leaders of the church called him together and said, when are you going to move on to another sermon? And he says, when you start doing what that first was called for. I wonder if there was a problem, and I don't know if Patrick's been in New Testament. I think you had a New Testament course this year or not. But I wonder if there was a problem in the first century church that John was addressing. Evidently, there was a problem with the disciples that Jesus was expressing or addressing about love. Or maybe Jesus just knew how difficult it is to love some people. Many of Paul's letters, we know, were written to correct a problem. And I didn't research this about John's letter, 1 John in chapter 4 and chapter 5, but he talked about how can you love, say you love God whom you have not seen, and then hate your brother that you can see eyeball to eyeball or face to face. And it doesn't speak very well of you to say, I'm paraphrasing 1 John 4 and 5, it doesn't speak very well of you to say, oh, I love God, if you hate your brother. Hate your neighbor. Love. Would you just think about love for a few moments? I'll be quiet. How long do you need? Let's go for a minute. God's love for you and me. Your love for God. Your love for your fellow man.
Continue in silent prayer, and people, the worship leader will often wait, and it's just difficult to stand up here and wait. But they'll often wait 2 or 3 seconds. And then they'll say amen. And sometimes we started putting in there just
a period of prayer. Because some people have more sins to confess than maybe the worship leader does at that time. But it's kind of nerve-wracking to be in front of the group in silence. I couldn't hardly be quiet. Now, even I spoke there twice or three times during that 60 seconds. The message of God's love. How much God loves us. The message of His love to people is spread throughout the Bible. This covers the Bible. I went home last night and got a sandwich. I used some mayo. I just spread that mayo all over that piece of bread. Just covered it. Well, the Bible is covered with the message of the story of His love for us. Even in His judgment, God is showing His love. He is using judgment to call His people back unto Himself so that He can love them. My people who are called by My name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way. I will forgive their sin. Come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. You could say, come unto Me, all you who are burdened down with sin. Come back. Come back. Come home. Crawl up in My arms. Let Me love you. People keep saying, no, I'm okay, I'll be okay. Two verses seem to sum it up, God's love for us. John 3:16. We know it, don't we? Let's put it together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish or shall not perish, but have eternal life. Different versions kind of mess you up on quoting in unison, doesn't it? Unless you are have it written for you. John 3:16. Does that not sum up God's love? For God loves the world so much. The people of the world. Sin of the world. He's... I wish it wasn't there. And then Romans 5:8. God showed His love or demonstrated His love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were rebelling with Him, while we were kicking at the traces, while we were screaming at Him, He loved us. Christ died. He let His Son go to the cross for sinful, evil people. The Apostle John wrote much about love, loving one another. I'm going to make a big statement. To love other people is the greatest thing that the Christian can do. Next to loving God. Loving God and loving other people, the greatest thing we can do. Can I prove it? Yes, I can prove it. Jesus said it. If Jesus knew anything that He was talking about or knew what He was talking about, should I even... I guess they'd say, if Jesus, but that was for emphasis. Jesus knew what He was talking about, I'm convinced. I don't just believe it, I'm convinced of it. Jesus said it. He said the greatest commandment is to love God, and the second greatest commandment is to love our neighbor. And then He has to explain to this guy that He's talking to who the neighbor is. And it wasn't the priest that was the neighbor. And it wasn't the Levi, those who officially were representatives of God in the community. But it was that hated foreigner, that half-breed from Samaria. The Good Samaritan story. Luke chapter 10, if you will. Love. What is it? We're not talking about romantic love. We're not talking about feeling. People say, you know, I don't feel anything. Well, feeling is kind of like icing on the cake. The good part of the cake is not the icing. That's Crisco and sugar, right? In a cube. But it tastes so good, and we so desire it, and we don't want cake unless we get the icing. And I'll even walk by a cake. I think I did it Wednesday night that Becky had made, and what all was in that, but it was pretty good, and I got her looking the other way, and I swiped part of that icing. But that's not really cake. The angel food was under that. So like an angel, I just ate and ate and ate. It was angel food, wasn't it? I guess that's what she thought I was. Maybe I shouldn't have used that. Love is desiring the best for others. I think in the simplest terms, love is desiring the best, even for our enemies. Jesus said that the greatest expression of love is to lay down our life for our friends. One defined love, I forgot who it was, but somebody defined love as caring in action. Caring for somebody. Oh, I care for you, but taking some action. It's not what we feel, but what we do. And then 1 Corinthians 13, we all are familiar with the love chapter. Maybe need to go back and read it. What love is not. And then love is patience and kindness. It's action toward others, even when we don't want to be. Patience and kindness and gentleness. Self-control. Love is greater than faith. Yes. Love is greater than hope. Paul said it. Faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. The Apostle Paul wrote, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Faith expressing itself through love. That's Galatians 5:6. And Galatians 5:13, he says, serve one another in love. And then Galatians 5:14, love your neighbor as yourself. James calls loving our neighbor the royal law that is found in Scripture. The royal law. The law of royalty. The royal law. That's James 2:8. He says if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. And remember who our neighbor is. It's not that person like us down the street or that holy man, supposedly holy man in the city. Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth hath fulfilled the law. Jesus was on the cross. And I think we've said that so much, and I guess I've said this so much. We've said that so much, but it becomes, oh, okay, yeah. We see him in a stained glass window. Jesus on the cross, bleeding, suffering, pain. The Psalms want to say that he didn't really suffer, that the vinegar deadened him. That's not what the Scripture says. Jesus on the cross. Showed such great love for those who were killing him. When they came to the place called the skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals. And what do we still say? Those criminals need to be put them out of their misery. They crucified him along with the criminals. They treated him like a criminal. one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Beat you to a pulp and nail through your flesh and raise you up on the cross. The wind is cut off. And you can still say, forgive me. Takes a lot. It's not human, is it? But with the Spirit of God. With His Spirit living in us, with Him living His life and death through us. It is God's way that we love Him and one another and those out there too, out in the world. That is God's will for us. It's over and over and over stated in the Word throughout the Bible. His will for you, and it's His will for me that we love other people. That is what God wants us to do. Will you let God His way with you? Or will you do what God wants you to do? Can we really say, have your own way? Have your own way. If you can. If you can. Let's stand together and let's sing together the song that says that. Have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. 371 is the number. If we love Him, Jesus, we will keep His commandments. Maybe you need to respond to God's love this morning in a public way. I'll meet you here at the altar and assist you if that is your need and your desire. Or maybe you just want to come and express your love to God, and maybe just do it here at one of the kneeling benches. You know what God is saying for you to do. Please respond as He is urging. 371. Thank you. thank you for the presence of your Spirit, your Word, and let us take your Spirit and your Word out into the world through the words that we speak and the lives that we live. In Jesus' name.
Completed power on self test. Computer now booting from operating system.
Right. Oh, yes, everything was just ready to go, you know. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm trying to learn to do it myself, but Patrick did it. I need to go through John and...